Let's try a little thought experiment. Let's see. Ha, there we go. I'm going to say word, and I want you to notice the first word that pops into your mind, the very first thing it is. So if I say the word popcorn, what's the first word that pops into your head? It might be pop, or it might be butter, or something like that. So we're going to try this. I'm going to give you a word, and you're going to notice the first word that comes to your mind. Are you ready? Law. The word is law. What's? Can I hear? Do you want to say your word? I can't. Yeah. Who's going to volunteer to say that word? I heard justice. Lawyer. So I can't hear. Lawyer. Order. One or two more. Court. That's one more. Judge. Thanks. That's awesome. So. I notice a lot of those words were probably not very happy words, but I'll tell you the honest truth is that for me, when I hear the word law, the word that pops into my head immediately is the word lawyer. And for me, that actually makes me think of my husband. So the word law for me is not actually a bad thing. But I'm betting that for a lot of you, you probably don't have a warm, fuzzy feeling about the word law the way that I do. I'm probably the exception rather than the rule on this one. Even the word lawyer, right? Probably a lot of you would think of the word lawyer and associate that with words like lawsuit or expensive or scary. It's probably not a happy word, am I right? Yeah? Thank you. I think for most people, we don't think of the word law as being a positive thing. That's not a good sounding word to us. We tend to think of the word law, the law as something that restricts us, something that binds us, or something that like bad people might break. Let's see. I'll just go like this when it's time to switch the slide. How's that sound? I think this thing has died here. So Psalm 19, though, it says, "The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart." God's laws give us joy. The psalmist describes the law as more precious than gold, sweeter than fresh honey. God's laws, according to the psalmist at least, are something to take delight in, something that fills us with joy. God's laws give life. That's a really different way to think about the law than what we're used to, isn't it? Now, to be fair, the psalmist isn't talking about the Canadian legal code. He's talking about the law of Moses, the Mosaic law, the code of laws that God gave to Moses up on Mount Sinai. And we usually think of these laws as being the Ten Commandments, but there was actually a lot more to them than just that. These laws were given by God as a series of instructions for how Israel was going to order and structure its community once it finally got to the Promised Land. You can read these laws for yourself in the book of Leviticus. It's riveting reading. I'm sure you'll be awake all night just going through Leviticus, being like, this is the best thing I've ever read. Not so much, right? But this set of laws is what we call the Mosaic Covenant. And that means the special relationship that God established with the people of Israel through Moses. And these laws were the structure for how Israel was supposed to organize its community. Now, the problem is this. Israel never actually lived out the Mosaic Covenant. In the Mosaic Covenant, the laws were supposed to be good news for the people, especially for the little guy. They were actually super progressive for their day. At the time when the Mosaic Covenant came about, this is the time in history that Egypt was using slaves to build the pyramids. Women and children were considered property of men. Slaves could be killed by their masters for whatever reason, and that was considered perfectly okay. So basically, the men who were in power at the top could do whatever they wanted to the people who were below them. But the Mosaic Covenant created a society that was structured differently than this. Under these laws, women and children were actually given rights. Slaves even were given rights. Marginalized groups like immigrants living in Israel, widows and children, they were given legal protection. Even the land itself, the actual environment, was given rights. This structure was intended to be good news for the people. It was intended to help Israel live together in a healthy society. Now, sadly, ancient Israel never actually followed the Mosaic Covenant. You can read about this for yourself in the book of Judges. All the people did what was right in their own eyes. That's the refrain that gets repeated over and over and over again in Judges. All the people did what was right in their own eyes. Israel never actually followed the structure that God had laid out for them, and their society ended up becoming more and more chaotic until eventually the people demanded a king just so they could have some sort of stability. Anyways, this is the law that the psalmist is talking about. It's intended to be something that helps people to live together well in a good society. Now, we tend to think of laws as something that bring us down, something that oppress us even. But to the psalmist, the law of God is something that lifts people up. Now, there's a lot more I could say about this, but let's fast forward for a minute into the New Testament. Jesus is seen as a guy who finally does manage to live according to the Mosaic Covenant. But Jesus actually breaks some laws, technically. For example, he gets in trouble from the Pharisees for healing people on the Sabbath day. They said that that was work, that he was breaking the law because he worked on the Sabbath. They considered that work. But Jesus starts to teach something that's important. He says, the Sabbath was made for people, not people for the Sabbath. In other words, Jesus actually takes it and he flips the whole thing around. Jesus teaches that God's law was intended to bring life to people. Laws aren't just made to be a set of rules and red tape. They're not just supposed to be something that brings us down. They're actually intended to help people to live together well in communities. In a world where people have different needs and different wants and different opinions, God's law is meant to help people to come together and to work through these differences in ways that are healthy and positive. So Jesus teaches that laws are not a bad thing. They are intended to help us live together well. Have to tell you, I kind of got a kick out of the fact that this particular scripture text was set out for us in the lectionary readings for today, the same day that we happen to be having our church's annual meeting, right? I was like, I think God is trying to tell us something here. Annual meetings probably aren't at the top of your to-do list. Unlike me, I totally live for them. I look forward to them every year. Why are you laughing? Annual meetings, though, they're an opportunity for our community to come together and to sort through what our goals and our priorities are, and maybe to work through some of our differences of opinion and to figure out how do we work together. Because the thing is, a community like ours is made up of all kinds of different people. We're all different from each other. We have different ages, different income levels, different family structures, different expectations. And in order for us to be able to work together, sometimes we need to come together and sit down and figure out what does that actually look like. We need to figure out effective structures in order to figure out how our church works. Now, this may seem like a lot of boring red tape, but it really is actually very important. It's actually quite crucial for us in order to function as a healthy church. You want to flip to the next slide? So at the last joint council meeting that I attended for MC Canada, MCEC presented this image on the screen right now. The words are kind of small, but I think you get the idea. There's 10 different corners on this shape that looks kind of like a weird sort of a pie. This diagram is supposed to be a representation of what a healthy church looks like. Each one of those 10 corners represents one aspect of what's necessary in order to have a healthy church. You can see what all the corners are if you can read in really small print. I won't go into them all right now, but the point is some of them are obvious. There's stuff on there like inspiring worship, loving authentic relationships, passionate spirituality. I think that's stuff we would automatically think of when we think of what it means to be a healthy church. But why I'm showing you this is that I'd like to point out one corner at the bottom of the pie you may not think of right away. And that's the corner that says effective structures. That means that you have good, solid policies and procedures that your church follows, that you have a safe church policy, that your volunteers know what their job descriptions are. And effective structures are a necessary and important part of being a healthy church. And I think that effective structures is maybe one area where our church has struggled in the past. But the good thing is that we've done a lot of hard work, especially over the last couple of years in this area. And it may not seem obvious to you right away, unless you're in leadership, because it's all behind the scenes stuff. It's not something you necessarily see on a Sunday morning in worship, but it's really important for having a healthy church. Next slide. Thanks. So today our leadership team is going to be presenting a new church charter and bylaws. And this may seem like boring stuff, but it's actually super important because it's all about how we do stuff together. How do we actually get done the work of the church? Well, first we have to figure out how we work together as a team. And that's why these documents are important. And that's why I'd like to invite you and encourage you to stay for the annual meeting today if you can. Because that kind of stuff matters. It matters so that we can get work done. So God doesn't just give us structures in order to keep us from having fun. Structures are about living together in all the diverse complexity that a community is. But Jesus does also caution us not to go overboard with them. In fact, Jesus actually gave a super hard time to the religious leaders, the Pharisees, who got bent out of shape about following all the rules perfectly. He says to them, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You give a tenth of all your spices, mint, dill, and cumin, but you've neglected the more important matters of the law, justice, mercy, faithfulness." Jesus is making the point that the heart of God's law, it's about compassion for people. The Pharisees were following all the nitpicky little details of the law perfectly, but they were completely missing out on the main point. Laws are supposed to be about helping people, and effective structures are about helping a community to work together and to live together well. So today, as we go through our annual meeting, let's give thanks to God for the boring, behind-the-scenes little details like effective structures, because they're actually really important. These things help us to get the work of the church done and help us to work together. And they're about developing a healthy, thriving church community. Let's pray together. God, thank you for all the behind-the-scenes kinds of things that we may not notice right away, but are so important. We pray for your blessing today upon us as we worship, and as we prepare for the annual meeting today, we thank you for the gift of effective structures. Help us to grow in this area so that we can work together as a community in healthy, positive ways. We give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.